ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
US officials are urging the Israeli government not to escalate tensions after Iran launched more than 300 drones and missiles at Israel yesterday. The majority were shot down by Israel and its allies, including the US, UK, and Jordan, with only one person injured. It's the first time Iran has attacked Israel directly, with Tehran confirming the strike was retaliation for an Israeli hit on their consulate in Syria at the start of the month. US President Joe Biden has reportedly told Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu his country will not support a counterattack, but it's still unclear how Israel will respond. Tova Lazaroff is the Deputy Managing Editor of the Jerusalem Post and joins us this morning. Tova, always great to speak to you. It's just after 11 p.m. local time. What is the general atmosphere like right now in Israel?
Well, it's much better than it was yesterday, because right at 24 hours ago, we were getting reports that there were, you know, like hundreds of drones and missiles heading our way. So, you know, they're not doing that now. It's really much better.
And is there a sense of trust? They say it's over if Israel doesn't retaliate. Is there a sense of trust around that?
Well, look, I think it's calmer, right? Like there were a few hours there where you just didn't know where anything was heading. Right. You had the missiles coming. You didn't know if they would hit. I don't think people really understood or appreciated the depth of the coordinated response that kept those missiles from actually landing, for the most part, in Israel in any way that did any substantive damage. It was really a phenomenal operation. So but you wouldn't have known that, right, when you first heard the reports. So I think now that the depth of that coordinated response is clear, I just think people are breathing easier. But irrespective of whether Israel responds or doesn't respond, there's a red line that's been crossed, right? Now kind of it's okay for Iran to directly attack Israel. And even if it doesn't do it today, and it doesn't do it tomorrow, and it doesn't do it for months, it like hovers there, right, as a potential. So it's kind of like you're in a new normal, no matter how you slice it, even if you wake up tomorrow and just continue about your day.
Yeah, that's a powerful point you make about that red line. A number of Israel's neighbours helped to shoot down incoming drones. What message does that send, given the level of regional anger at Israel's operation in Gaza?
Well, it's an incredible message. And I think the most important message is Jordan, right? Jordan and Israel have been at odds, right? I mean, the war of words between them is very high. There's been intense amounts of tensions between the two countries. So the idea that Jordan worked together with Israel to thwart an Iranian attack, and it's an incredible moment.
A number of Israel's neighbours helped to shoot down incoming drones, right, as we were saying. Is that, you say a red line has been crossed. Is that now the precedent as well? Is that the message to Iran that there will be coordinated responses?
I think for sure the message to Iran is that there's a coordinated response and that Israel doesn't stand alone. I think it's a very powerful message.
Let's go to what we can expect next. Some in the government, including Benny Gantz, are promising retaliation. He says it will be at a time of Israel's choosing. What options is Israel considering?
Well, if I knew that.
Yes, you'd have yourself a front page scoop. Yes.
I would not be talking to you, right? I would. Look, Israel doesn't necessarily have to respond with a full direct attack, right? So that's that. But there were a lot of government officials that said that early on, that in fact, if they were attacked, that Israel would directly respond. I mean, Israel has spent a long time doing targeted strikes, assassinations, cyber attacks. It has a range of options in front of it. Really, the question is more, is it going to do a full-fledged military attack?
And right now, what are the noises coming out of the war cabinet? Is that unlikely, full-fledged attack?
Well, it's unlikely only because the United States is so opposed to it. Right. And I think you're going to see a lull now. right, between where, you know, the violence between Israel and Iran is going to recede. So I think it's more likely that they will go in the direction of something that is not a full frontal attack.
How do you think America's refusal to support a counterattack will play into Israel's thinking more broadly, and what it will do to the relationship? What's your read on that crucial phone call between Biden and Netanyahu?
I think the read is the opposite. I think the read is that, you know, the United States put in an inordinate amount of energy into defending Israel, and it created this new alliance that is suddenly clear to everybody about how it operates and would operate. I mean, yesterday, Israel stood alone in fighting Iran, and now it has partners. And with those partners comes responsibilities, right, to acting within the scope of the partnership. So I think it's a different set of considerations.
That's right? a really interesting point. You're saying that because of the support Israel received during this attack, that it's now puts obligations on Israel.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you think about it, right, those missiles and those drones, they came from Iraq, Syria, Yemen, and Iran. They came from four different locations, right? And as they were traveling, they got shot out of the sky already en route by an array of forces in different positions, all along that route. That's an incredible thing. It does not happen that often, and it has not happened that often for Israel. Israel, you know, for the most part, has fought its wars alone.
Domestically, what does this mean for Benjamin Netanyahu and his ministry? He's been under so much pressure, both obviously domestically, but internationally as well. Does this secure his position, or does he have ongoing issues?
No. I mean, I think that, you know, he's what's been overshadowed by this is the fact that there's no hostage deal, right? The U.S. and Israel might not have tensions over Iran, but they have plenty of tensions over Rafah, and they have plenty of tensions over Gaza. This reminds everybody that Israel is in a larger existential regional war, and that there are larger stakes, and that when it comes to the larger geopolitical picture, Israel has strong support and is in a new alliance. But on the domestic level, the fact that we got here, right, that we got to this moment is already a problem for Netanyahu. Because if we were going to go here, like, maybe we should have gone here much earlier, right, in the war. Like, here we are, we're half a year in, and Iran, and we're fighting proxy wars with Iran instead of fighting Iran. We haven't been doing so well with those wars. So I think it's almost like too little, too late in an arena where it's just one loss after another. So no, I don't see this helping him at the end of the day. And the shadow of October 7th and the failure of that casts a very long shadow.
Tova, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Bye.
Tova Lazaroff, the Deputy Managing Editor of the Jerusalem Post, and you're listening to ABC RN Breakfast.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.